happy Friday, everyone. Another Friday, another end of the week. So we are about, you know, to kind of wind up this week. But before we wind up, hey, stay tuned to Drive-Thru HR, because today we're going to talk something different, something that is that normal HR won't talk about. So some of the career advancements, some of the challenges in the career, a new job, and new challenges. So stay tuned. And if you would like to ask any question to our guest, hit the hashtag DTHR. Yes, DTHR, and we will be able to pull that up. So without further ado, let me welcome my friend and the guest for today, Michael Vanderwoord. Hey, Mike.
Hey,
welcome
back
to Drive Thru HR.
Thanks.
How are you?
I'm good. It's always great to be on Drive Thru HR. It's always fun, and it's nice to be back in a new year, sort of. We're getting kind of late to be talking about the new year, but it still is. 2015
I know, right?
Is still young, but yeah. Yeah.
So, I have a lot of things to ask you. I have a lot of questions in front of me. But before we get to that, you know, if there is anyone out there who is tuning into Drive Thru HR for the first time and who doesn't know of you, please help them out. Tell them who you are and what you do.
Sure. Well, actually, that's just changed. But my name's Michael Vanderwoord. I have been in HR for verging on 30 years, which always makes me go, ouch, every time I say that. But it's been fun. I picked it as a career a long time ago, and I've really loved it. But over the last several years, I had been the labor relations manager at Publix Supermarkets, a big grocer based down in Florida, and just recently changed into quite a different type of career position. And I'm now the executive director of a small business serving not-for-profit called CUE Incorporated. And I've been doing that for about, I guess I'm in my second month right now.
Wow, so congratulations. So
Thanks.
New year has kicked off pretty much wonderfully for you.
Yeah. The New Year, just before Christmas, I moved from Florida to Georgia, where I've had a home for a while, and I left Publix and I joined this new company, and I moved an office where the office for this organization was in San Antonio, Texas, and I moved that up to Georgia as well. So the entire month of December and January has been all about change. So
wow,
I'm actually
that's
kind
a great.
Yeah.
Correct. That is a lot of changes.
I was going to say, it's a ton of changes, and this month is the first month I feel like I'm somewhat settled in one place for a while. So.
Oh, glad to hear that. So, Mike, before we get to, you know, what's keeping you up at night, that question, we wanted to, you know, hear more about you. We wanted to get to know how was the transition happened to you, because throughout last year, until last year, you've been working with a giant company, but then now you moved and you took a challenge from moving from Florida to Georgia, and this is a new organization, a new industry. This is a nonprofit organization. You are working first time for a nonprofit organization. So tell our audience, being an HR professional, working with a big organization, and then how challenging was that when it comes to moving from there to this role, a new role, personally and professionally?
So it's very challenging, which I don't think will surprise anyone. I mean, certainly working for a company the size of Publix, which was nearly $30 billion, working at their corporate office, you know, you're kind of right at the heart of a very giant hub of people and resources, and gives you all kinds of opportunity to interface and use all sorts of tools. And then you move over into this much smaller organization, which is essentially myself and an administrative person who does a lot of our bookkeeping and accounting and stuff like that. It's much, much different. You have to be able to do everything from, you know, being your own tech support person, fix an email, to working with the board of directors and doing presentations to the board, you know, which in the case of this organization, Q, is made up of many different member companies all across the United States. And we have a 20-some person board, which I'll be meeting with next week. So it's quite a bit different. And it's, I think the biggest challenge for me is prior to taking this position, I had been doing something that I was very very steeped in and had a lot of experience, both both professionally and just kind of tribal knowledge that you've built up over your career. And now I'm jumped into this thing that managing an organization and all the requirements of managing a not-for-profit, which I've never done. So I'm finding myself, you know, reaching into my toolkit and not knowing if there's a tool there or not. It's a little bit different. It's fun and scary at the same time.
Well, so for an HR professional like you who are moving from one great role of managing a bigger team to probably, I'm not sure if at your current company is an HR department of one kind of a situation at this point, or do you have a team there?
No, it's me in Georgia, and then it's my assistant whose name is Morgan in Texas. So not only are we're divided by about 1,000 miles of geography. So we've got to figure out how to work virtually and work without each other in the same room. You know, so it's all different. Yeah, so we're
so
relying
like
on some new tools.
Yeah, so it's like HR department of one plus one, right?
Yeah, plus one. And we're not only HR, we're also accounting and tech support and operations. We do everything.
Wearing
so
all sorts of
different.
Hats, right?
All sorts of hats, absolutely. So it's quite challenging, quite fun, and sometimes quite, definitely keeps me up at night sometimes when I'm not sure how I'm going to figure out that one thing I don't know how to do. But so far I've managed to solve them all.
That kind of reminds me to ask the question, what's keeping you up at night? So which, of course, you have told us. But then is there any particular things that, you know, this is a new job, new career, new challenges? So definitely you must be prepared enough to take a few steps. Probably the first 6 months you might have already envisioned it, how you were planning to, or how are the strategies that you are planning to take. So what would you like to focus on in this first 6 months of your new job?
Yeah, so to answer that, let me tell you a little bit about what Q does, because that's kind of the challenge.
Oh, yeah, sure.
The challenge is twofold. So Q is, as I said, it's a membership, it's a member-serving trade association whose mission is to be an organization that helps employers build and maintain positive employee relations. And we are largely based in the United States, but we do have global membership, several countries, including in Asia, in Canada, and Europe. So it's a global organization in terms of its membership. We put on, amongst other things, we put on two conferences a year, one in the spring and one in the fall, all aimed at this positive employee relations theme. And this year there's one in Louisville, Kentucky, April 26th to the 28th, and then another one will be held in Denver in October. And so our member companies, send their HR managers or their labor and employee relations managers or their operations managers there to learn about maintaining positive employee relations in the workplace. So we have the challenge of planning two conferences, plus we try to provide throughout the year services like webinars and newsletters and other things to help with the education process for our member client companies. And one of the challenges that I'm facing, is learning how to do that, keep the conferences exciting experiences, because they're very widely regarded, very highly regarded by our clients as great focused learning opportunities for people who are doing labor and employee relations. So we want to maintain that. But then the other thing is some of the things that have, I think, the organization needs to do. Like we haven't been using social media much, and we probably could have a better, better website. So there are those kind of challenges where you have to kind of reinforce the infrastructure of the organization from a technology standpoint. So I'm learning a new job in a field that, in a company that I've never dealt with, trying to maintain a really good basis of strength to operate from. And then sort of the challenge is to take it, I think, through technology and bringing some different kind of networking and relationship partnership opportunities to help grow the business over the next year. So that's all in my big master plan, and most of it right now is just keeping my head above water while I learn the systems and all that kind of thing. So.
Well, that is a great journey right there. So as an organization, you know, I can totally relate to you because I also partner with Dallas HR, which is one of the local shrimp chapter over here in Dallas. And that organization is also driven basis on the membership and then how the members are contributing towards the organizations and like that. So in this industry, what do you think are some of the skills that HR professionals should be having in order to become successful in their career? Because you have already, you know the drill. This is not your first rodeo when it comes to, you know, HR or HR being strategy, because you have done that successfully. But now in this new organization, wherein I see the synergy because you are a workplace relationship or labor relations professional who can better, who can advise them better. So tell us, what are some skills that an HR professional should be having when they are working with a nonprofit organization?
I think in the nonprofit world, I mean, I think many of the same skills apply. You have, you know, you have to listen to people. You have to identify issues. You have to provide solutions. I mean, some of the challenges are like, you know, things that I'm not experienced at all with was like figuring out what happened when our Visa merchant account, our ability to process credit cards went down. I call and beg the bank for help, right? But that's not a skill. It's problem solving. You have to know who to call. You have to understand what the issue is. You have to, it's the same set of skills. It's managerial. It's leadership. You have to offer customer service because each of the member companies that paid to be a part of our organization have a reason for being a member, and they want access to the services that we offer, and they want them offered on a timely basis. So, you know, and if it's something goes sideways, you have to talk to them and bring them back and fix it for them. So it's very much like HR. I think the challenge is because we're focused on that mission of creating positive employee workplaces. My job requires that I keep doing what I was doing, which was staying abreast and ahead of the developing trends in labor relations. But now I have a chance to help design programs and provide training and build communication to member client companies on these issues instead of just doing it internally at one company as I was at Publix.
Correct.
So I have a chance to kind of, you know, share and educate across a bunch of different companies and business sectors now, which is what really interested me about this job. So the challenge is still staying current with the professional stuff and then bringing the material forward in a way that it can be useful to any of our member clients. The other challenge we face as an organization is because we are a membership based, just like you mentioned at Dallas HR, if you mm-hmm. lose members or if you're not offering the right kind of information or training or programming, you know, people go somewhere else. So we have to not only stay current, but we have to make sure that we're offering stuff that will also bring in new members when we need them. And so finding that mix and balance is probably the difficult thing. But it's still labor relations. It's still HR. It's just it's focused in delivering material and training and information in a different way.
Yeah. The only difference is the audience is a little bit wider over here because a lot of clients are joining in, and then you would like to you would be the person who would be training them. So let's talk about the mission of this organization, Q Inc.
Sure.
You know, you're there to provide better employee relationship. So what would you recommend to our audience when it comes to providing a better or to employee relationship?
There are two areas that I think every HR professional has to kind of think about right now in 2015 related to labor and employee relations. Number one is you have to continue to build, you know, and build your HR practices and do the good work that HR people should be doing regardless of what happens with labor unions or the government or the National Labor Relations Board. You know, we need to attract and retain the right kind of talent. We need to hire the right people. We need to pay properly. We need to provide the right training, et cetera, for our employees and our managers. We need to, you know, create good leaders. All those things that we talk about all the time on the HR side, you know, almost to the point where it drives you crazy. We need to have engagement. All that proactive stuff needs to continue to be focused on and done. But today, this, and especially since 2014, the National Labor Relations Board, which is the agency that has the authority inside the federal government of the United States to administer labor policy between employers and their employees, has become very activist in the way that they are running their organization, and as a result, they're promulgating a lot of policies and case law decisions that are having an impact on not only employers with unions, but more and more, and in fact, probably more so than employers with unions, they're inserting themselves into the relationship that exists between employers and employees at companies that have no unions. And a couple examples of that, Nisha, are for example, heavy amount of influence over policy, social media policies at work, and a heavy amount of review of handbook policies where they believe that the way a certain kind of policy may be written might impact the ability of employees to engage in what they call protected concerted activity, their right to advocate on their own behalf in the workplace for fair treatment. In the food service industry, especially in the fast food side, they've been very activist in trying to create stronger joint employer relationships between franchise owners and McDonald's, for example. So there are a lot of actions being driven by this rather small agency that are causing kind of like reactive issues. So there's the proactive side of doing good HR work, and then there's the side of how do you respond to these kind of issues that are created by unions and or the National Labor Relations Board in the way that you manage your employees. And a lot of HR practitioners today don't have good reactive side. They don't have a labor response plan in place because it's kind of viewed as a little bit not in the mainstream anymore. And every time I talk about this, I always say HR people need to pay closer attention to this kind of stuff. So that's Q's mission, is to sit right into that intersection and help companies understand what's coming at them, provide education and training through our conferences to help them build, maintain those positive employee relationships, but also be prepared in case something bad happens so that they know how to react and that they're prepared ahead of time.
Well, one of the things that I wanted to ask you is when we talk about HR, very particularly, you know, the tactical stuff and the strategic stuff, yes, we do have to stick to the compliance part of it, but I don't see, you know what, when we talk to HR professionals, normally they talk about all those strategic aspects and then compliance, recruitment, retention, training, development, and everything, but when it comes to, you know, stick to the law, rules and regulations and then NLRB rules and all, sometimes they often get the help of an advisor or an attorney, in-house attorney. So what do you suggest to the HR professionals to become more indulged in the compliance part of it so that, you know, we can avoid any sort of issue at the beginning itself in order to, you know, rectify and then get a help of an attorney to solve it?
Well, certainly having an attorney or an advisor is a legitimate strategy, especially depending on the size of your HR department. Because if you're an HR department of one, you can't necessarily wear every hat, even in compliance, right? You know, true. Mm-hmm. But if you're a larger organization, you know, I think it's prudent to have both to have labor counsel, competent labor counsel, retained and identified. But it also, I think, is very strategic, forward-looking HR to make sure that you've looked at your own vulnerabilities on what may be perceived as old-fashioned issues like labor relations. You need to identify what your risk is, and you need to have proactive plans in place for response if they come. Because if something comes your way, if you wait until it's knocking at your door, it's too late. So the strategic part is identifying your risk, whatever that may be. It may be low, it may be high. You know, Silicon Valley, you know, is often viewed as the kind of, you know, the island of wonderful, wonderful stuff. But there are Facebook and Google and some of the other campuses out there. They have people doing services like driving buses and vans or cleaning the buildings that are actually engaged in union organizing. Now, that may not mean that Facebook is going to experience a union organizing campaign, but they're experiencing that kind of thing on their campus. And, you know, someone there hire should be looking at that and understanding what kind of issues that could bring to the organization. As an example that most people probably wouldn't think of from an employer, you know, from a specific employer point of view. And if they're not, then they're leaving themselves potentially vulnerable to having problems, although they have plenty of resources to deal with. But whether you're Facebook or a grocer or a restaurant, the issue is still the same. Do you have a risk? Do you have a potential liability? Have you identified the scope of it, and have you prepared a response plan? And if you haven't, you need to do that. Once you have that response plan in place, then that will lead you to the labor attorneys or to other advisors or to assign people to be responsible and let you develop training, which is all the tactical stuff of developing that comes out of the plan. But you need to have a plan in place, and that plan should extend down from the top of your organization to the bottom. That would be, my strongest recommendation.
Well, thank you. So let me ask you, what's keeping your clients up at night? What are they seeing? What are you listening from them? What are some of the key issues that they normally face?
Well, I think it's that it's just what we've been talking about. Most of the companies that belong to Q are very interested in maintaining positive employee relationships in their workplace. They want to have good, close working relationships with the employees that are part of their organization. There's, you know, the Great Place to Work Institute research shows that the more employees are engaged and the more they feel part of the organization and the more they're valued and respected, the higher your profit, the higher your productivity is going to be, and that research is played out over and over again in the surveys that the Great Place to Work Institute puts out every year, and I think really good employers know that, and they do everything they can to maximize it. That doesn't mean that some don't have problems from time to time, or that a manager doesn't, a single manager at a site doesn't go sideways on them from time to time. But my member clients, I would say that's their main thing. They want to maintain good employee relationships. And what they do is they invest time in coming to the conferences that we offer and attending the webinars that we offer and sharing their experiences in the newsletter so that we can draw on each other's experience and help develop best practices that help companies do just that, maintain good employee positive relationships in the workplace. So that's the strength of our organization. We're very focused on one mission, and we provide in-depth learning opportunities for employers. So some come to us now, like we get new members from companies who may feel like they're struggling with that, or that they feel like they need a resource to turn to help them identify best practices. So typically when I get a call about what can Q offer me, those are the kind of discussions I have with people, how I can help you build better workplace relationships. And for a certain amount of money per year, and then investing time and travel to our conferences, people get very focused learning, and can bring stuff back and put it to work in the workplace right away.
All right. So yesterday, I was talking about engagement to our guest that tried through HR, and then we kind of talked about the relationship between manager and employees when it comes to providing a better employee relations or providing a better work environment for the employees.
Mm-hmm.
So what
mm-hmm.
do you suggest? What is the role of this manager when it comes to providing a better employee relations?
First-line supervisor, at whatever level of the organization that is for the person. So if you work somewhere, whoever your boss is, that person in large part is the organization for you. And I don't mean in a cult way. I mean the fact that they oversee your daily work, and that they're the ones that kind of guide you through potential career opportunities and help you solve problems, and can take you to the next place you want to go if you're with an organization for the long haul. So it's that first line supervisor and how they treat the people who work for them day to day that are probably the key, the very first building block to building a positive workplace relationship. If that person is not skilled and trained, and even more important than that, sometimes it's not even, you can provide all the training in the world, if that person is not approachable and isn't caring as a supervisor about their workers, then the rest, anything else you do gets lost on the road, because you don't ever get out of the starting gates. So I think that one of the key, the very first keys, is that companies need to identify and select leaders who actually have leadership potential, invest in them in terms of training and development, and reward and incent their behaviors to help them support their employees. All too often, even today, we still promote people into leadership roles because they were really good workers. That doesn't necessarily make them great leaders. It means that they knew how to do one thing really well, and they may succeed in the next role, but it doesn't always work out. So that's probably one of the first things we focus on at Q, is how to develop your workforce from a supervisory leadership standpoint, and what you can do and what kind of training you need to provide to people to help them excel.
All right. Well, Mike, we have about 3 minutes left at this point, and my last question would be, for some of them, if they have some relevant HR experience like you, and they have gone through all sorts of initiative in their previous organization, but then going to an organization wherein, you take a baby step and then you kind of do all the initiatives from the scratch itself, what are some things that you would think should learn and unlearn? Because sometimes it might be a frustration that you don't have anything, the tools that are not available, but then sometimes you feel it's a challenging. Yeah, let's get everything in place and make all things together. So what are some things that you would suggest to learn and unlearn before kicking off that new job?
I'm gonna say this from my own experience. You have to embrace the things that are good about your situation, and do everything you can to keep them sustainable while you're identifying the things that are either need to be improved or need to be eliminated because they're roadblocks, or they're just simply there are glaring opportunities to improve. So you have to have an open mind in both directions. Some things work well. Some things you need to dispose of just because they've been done that way for a long time doesn't need to mean that they need to be maintained. If you have that open mind, begin to identify lists on both sides and begin to prioritize those. What can you work on immediately that will deliver the most impact, and then put things, some of the other things that are nice to have downstream. And so that's what I'm trying to do in my new job. I'm trying not to just solve every problem as it comes my way, but rather solve those things that are going to make the most impact today and will allow me to get to the better fun improvements downstream and implement them in a way that will be the most effective and advantageous to the organization. I think that's
well,
it.
Well, thank you. Well, that is great.
Which
is indeed, many of them face this kind of a situation because they normally have gone through all the tools and technologies and then well adapt in all those activities and initiatives. But then when they go to a new place, they don't have anything in place, but they wanted to have that, but they don't have that budget, they don't have that approval, taking time. So,
right.
So, Mike, thank you so much again for joining with us at Drive Through HR. So where can our audience find more details about Q Inc. and what you do at Q Inc.? How can they support you?
So hit me up at Twitter, Mike Vandervoort, or find me on Facebook or LinkedIn, or you can go to and we have a Twitter account that's relatively new for Q, that is CUEINCSA, Q Inc. SA. Or you can go to our website, Q Inc. com, and there's some information there as well. Thanks for the opportunity to be on again today. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. So, folks, check it out, CUEINC.com. So that is Q Inc. com, and find out more details about them. They have a brand new Twitter handle as well, so follow them there too. So, Mike, thank you so much again. We will talk to you all next week on Monday. All right. Have a wonderful weekend.
Bye, Nisha.
Bye-bye.